This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly. But I'm a
creep. Hello again, listeners, followers, and Radiohead fans. With you as always, I'm Top Toes.
And I am Ennie, and this is the Oh Those Toes podcast. Or maybe radio station now, I don't know.
Yeah. Don't tell anyone, we haven't paid royalties.
Shh.
But the song you've just heard, or maybe didn't if it got yanked out of the episode by angry producers. a favorite of mine of my youth, and that makes me very, very old. But it is the perfect intro to our topic. And I think we will, for once, title the episode at the beginning of the episode, I'm a Foot Fetishist. Does that make me a creep? And I think it's something we've touched on. We've, especially when we've been guests on other people's podcasts, we've had to answer to this. And I think it's time to just put it right there, out there. Can you be a foot fetishist without being perceived as being a creep?
Well, I guess the question is, can you come out as a foot fetishist and not be perceived as a creep? Because if you're keeping it completely hush-hush, then obviously nobody thinks that you're a creep. But if you come out with it, do people automatically assume that you're a creep?
Yeah. And whether you are a creep or not, do you have to deal with the fact that when you, the moment you say it, people think you're a creep? And we have discussed this. And the reason why the creep factor is there is because the vocal minority, the ones that are perceived, the ones that are seen by society, are the ones who are doing things without consent. And that's just creepy.
So one of the points that I saw someone make online was that there's a number of foot fetishists that get off on being creeps. Like, and not just being creepy, like taking creep shots and stuff, but like being labeled as a creep.
Mm.
Like they enjoy being a weirdo and being different and being singled out by it. Like that's what gets them off.
We've talked a bit on the foot fetishists who maybe in our opinion are more about humiliation first and foot fetish second. And I wonder if that kind of intersects. If they get labeled as a creep, then are they playing into a fetish for humiliation?
Right.
And then, of course, are there foot fetishes who are moving over or more strongly in the voyeur sense first and the foot fetish second? And yeah, it's possible. I mean, foot fetishism is a great fetish for voyeur. Definitely easier to be a voyeuristic foot fetishist than it is to be, say, a voyeuristic breast man. Can't say fetish on that one because, well, definitely, I mean, if the focal point of your particular person sexuality is pussy, you're not getting a whole lot of voyeurism on that. At least not out there on Main Street.
Right, but, not organically.
And we've said the foot fetish is definitely one that plays to a certain out there in public voyeurism. But then the guys who want to be a creep, what does that mean? That they're making a point to make sure that they're obvious with their leering?
Well, so this person on Reddit, and I don't want to say any names because I didn't get permission to use names, but
we'll call him Toby. Oh, female.
I think it's a girl. I think it's a girl.
We'll call her Toby. It's a gender neutral name.
So Toby says, I don't think these people share our same goal of making foot fetish accepted. I think all they care about is the kick they get out of freaking girls out and imagining rape scenarios in their sick heads.
Okay. So it's not a voyeurism. It's the getting a kick from freaking girls out. So yeah, they're taking a bit of a really weird dominance because they're taking control in a sense to,
like, it's kind of scary, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean,
I think she's right. I think it's a variation on a rape fantasy. I wouldn't go so far as to say these guys are rapists, but I think, yeah, they have a little bit of that penchant for the non-consensual. They're enjoying the fact that what they're doing is non-consensual. And that's something we don't condone. We've been publicly against that concept, but it's an interesting one.
I once had a guy tell me something along the lines of, you smell just as good in the day as you do at night, or something like that.
You know,
but basically it was like,
and we're talking creep, right? So you've seen Silence of the Lambs.
Yes.
Multiple Who hasn't? Migs. Multiple Migs in the next cell. He hissed at you. What did he say? He said he could smell my cunt. No, wait, no, I fucked. I can't. Can you do a West Virginia accent? Can you give me the
Oh God, do you remember me in accents? Like,
yeah, you're right. So
come on.
Yeah. he said he could smell my cunt. I myself cannot.
Yeah,
that exchange. It's a beautiful piece of film. I mean, Sir Anthony Hopkins, for fuck's sake, he can do no wrong anyway. And oh God, I can't think of the girl who played Clarice.
Jodie Foster. Yeah,
being a child of the 70s, Jodie Foster was like in all the after school specials, and she finally grows up, and then she gets to play opposite Sir Anthony Hopkins. And she gets to tell Sir Anthony Hopkins that the criminal in the next cell said he could smell her cunt. I mean, that's like her first giant line in film. But yeah, I've derailed myself. But I, because
well, it's the, that creepy.
Yes,
it's that creepy. You know.
Repeat your internet pal's line.
Well, so no. We so what I was saying, together. What I was saying was that the guy that told me that I smelled the same during the day as I did at night, implying that he smelled me while I was sleeping before.
Okay. Yes.
You know. You. Right. So.
So now what I said made some sense.
That's what happens when you drink four or five drinks.
Yeah. Yeah. The plans changed tonight a bit, and you know, I think we have something important to say, but I just wasn't necessarily prepared for it. And yeah, I went out and had a few before we started this, but you know, our listeners are used to the clink of the glass and the gin and tonics, so they'll get over it.
My my glass is ice free because my drink was so cold already, but I did take a couple shots beforehand because I thought we were going to do a Drunken Toes episode. So I'd gotten started, but not drunk just yet.
No, and I
this is all natural crazy.
Just tapering, drinking the water.
But yeah, so then, you know, we had this great idea of talking about, you know, the not so nice aspect of being a foot fetishist. Like, does... And how hard it is to fight that. I mean, when you tell somebody that you're a foot fetishist, how much work do you have to do to convince them that you're not a creep?
Well, the most recent opportunities I've had to say it, and, you know, I think at this point, you and I have become foot fetish celebrities. So it gets easier by the day. But the most recent times, the people I was telling it to had dealt with foot fetishes before. I wasn't them in.
So in your personal life, can you remember, and I know that you've mentioned that your circle of friends is over the years turned to be more flexible, adaptable, and open-minded and all that. So, but thinking back to the last time.
I hang out with the gays. Nothing affects them.
So, gays and fetishes. So, but let's go back. Think back to the last person that you told.
Hang on. You just reminded me. You like gays and fetishes. And I just thought back to a very old Mighty Mighty Boston song of my youth called Drunks and Children. And the line is, drunks and children, they tell the truth. And that's what I am. I'm drunken youth. And it rings true. Except gays and fetishes, same difference. You know, it's that sort of, we're beyond hiding anything. It's just pure honesty.
I mean, at that point, they've gone through the most difficult thing.
Yeah.
Which is coming out to friends and family and, you know, the world, basically.
It's easier for me to say I'm a foot fetishist these days than to come out as bisexual to people. Actually, it depends on the audience. But yeah, I mean, it's like, that's the thing. And I think maybe that's the crux of your question. It's almost as bad to come out as a foot fetishist as it is to come out as LGBTQ, put it that way.
Who are we talking to recently that told us that? Was it one of our tinies?
I want to say it was Giant Admirer who said it's easier to say he's a foot fetishist than it is to say he's bisexual. I mean, he may yell at us later and say that wasn't me, or that he didn't say that. But
no, there was one that said that he'd rather come out as gay than to ever admit he had a giantess fetish.
Okay, then I think that was from the mouth of somebody who wasn't actually LGBTQ.
Right.
And so it was presumptive. So, I mean, huge admirer. He kind of put three on the table for us in the episode.
Oh, he's fantastic. I hope he's listening. Yeah. Hey, babe.
I don't. So now I misattributed. So I don't know if he actually said which one was an easier one to say. But you're right. At least in perception, one of our guests said that it would be easier to come out gay than it would to come out as a giantess fetishist. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that I've had, depending on the audience, one or the other is more difficult, that they're somehow on par. And they're both social stigma, one with religious aspects and one with, at least people understand what the gay community is doing. They may not like it. People have such terrible perceptions of what the foot fetish community is doing because everybody believes we're creeps.
Well, so let's think back to the last person that you told that wasn't sort of in your inner circle and that wasn't gay or fetishy or like...
Well, that was Bliss. It was completely blind. But
yeah, but she look at the place she was at. Like, look who she was with and where she was at. You had to have known people in that, you know, circle were going to be more accepting. Well, otherwise, they wouldn't be there. Or was it a vanilla party you were at?
Brought up feet before I did, I think, because she had some experience with other foot fetishes. So going all the way back to, I can't recall. I don't know the last time I've had to.
Probably at a Christmas party.
That's true.
Because okay, you've told stories at Christmas.
The coworker, that particular coworker, former coworker, got the foot fetish spiel first, the bisexual spiel later. Obviously, once one was cracked open, she became somebody I could easily tell either. And I think also was too drunk at the first reveal to remember it by the time the second reveal happened. Second reveal happened sober, so at least she knows what page I'm on now. That's the problem with Christmas party reveals. You don't know if you're drunkenly revealing something to somebody who's too drunk to recall it the next day or Monday morning.
I've also mentioned this before. I feel like the stigma is even bigger to overcome. It's greater to overcome when I tell people that I actually have or enjoy feet and enjoy playtime with my feet. So everyone knows. Everyone knows that my husband has a foot fetish, right? But they don't know the extent of it. They just know that he likes feet. But let's take a real like example from my life. Okay, my sister knows that I have a foot fetish page. She knows that I have an OnlyFans. She knows my mom knows too. Everybody knows. Everybody in my family knows, with the exception of the kids. But I have tried my hardest to keep them from finding out about the podcast because I don't want to be judged for like actually enjoying all of my interactions with the followers and things like that. So in their minds,
if you're just doing it to exploit us freaks, if you're doing it because you actually enjoy it and
I'm a weirdo.
Am I a creep? Later, you're a creep and you're a weirdo.
Am I a creep? Yeah. So, my coworkers are aware, almost all of them, of the page and the podcast, actually. But I refuse to tell them what it is because, you know, there's just some things about my personal life that they don't need to know. And I'm very open and I say a lot.
There's being open, being out, and telling your librarian. You know, people in your life don't need to know the nitty gritty details of what's going on with your life, your sex life, your podcasting life, your Instagram life.
See, but so they understand my husband's. They understand, you know, that he has a fetish and they're fine with it. They don't think he's a weirdo. But if I were to say that I did too, they would see me as a weirdo. I mean, they really would.
So it's.
I think it's harder for a woman with. I'm supposed to maintain this wholesome image, I guess.
We all had a lot of trouble just acknowledging and defining you as a foot fetishist. But so what you're saying is that your friends seem to accept your husband's fetish, and your perception is they believe you just go along for the ride to appease him.
Yes.
You
exactly.
Do you honestly believe that's what they believe? That they don't have the wherewithal to believe that you.
No, I think that they
enjoy
think
this
that,
together.
I think most of them know and think that I'm a freak. I don't think that they would ever imagine that I'm going, oh yeah, right there, and it's in between my toes.
Recording delay, as you confessed to Rachel on the Wine Dine 69 that aired last Friday, where you said exactly that right there. And then we told her how to get her boyfriend or partner. So many people in our world hide behind the word partner. Like, it's the reverse of playing the pronoun game.
He is a he, but think she refers to him as partner. Yeah,
a lot of people do, and it's like, wow, the pronoun game used to be to hide things, now it's just the way things are. So yes, we gave her instructions on how to get her partner to give her toes a taste, as it were.
Well, I would tell you, I was really shocked when her opener was like, I've given a foot job before. I was like, nah, 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 record scratch. Wait, what?
You record scratch. Until she said, and now I have, now I'm triggered by it. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Wow. We get it. Having done an entire episode on how to give a foot job that doesn't end up with like permanent back damage, we get it. We feel you. And as soon as she said that, we're like, oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I was hoping for a different ending, but
but she jumped into the fast lane on the first time behind the wheel, and you know we gotta tell our people how to slow down. And I really liked the answer we were able to give her, and I think that's the amazing thing I love about being on other people's podcasts is we can talk amongst ourselves for hours and hours and hours, hundreds at this point, maybe even thousands. But they always have questions for us that make us think of things we'd never thought about before.
Yeah, I did enjoy that.
I never want to stop going on other people's podcasts because they have great questions for us that we then sometimes we bring those things back to our podcast because we never thought to say them because we'd never been asked the question.
Right. And we've been doing this for years. We're kind of, podcast aside, well, actually, you know, our podcast anniversary is coming up. Did you realize that? I know we're still in the middle of the season, but we started sort of at the end of the last season.
Well,
so
yeah, I'm doing the math. Episode 40 of this season will be 1 year from episode 1 of last season.
Yeah, so.
So, yeah, we're coming up.
Yeah, we got to think of something special to do, really.
For the 1 year anniversary?
Yeah. I don't know. We got to figure it out. You know, maybe we should do our live Zoom call-in.
Yeah, we put that off.
Uh-huh. Well, because we've had so many great guests coming on and
there's a little bit of prep and announcement and solid, like 2 days before kind of announcement, we have to do the live call in because attention spans are short and people get busy and it's you got to catch them right then and there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but okay, let's take a quick break.
And after we hear from our sponsor, our wonderful sponsor who's been with us for almost a dozen episodes now, we come back and we will continue to answer the question. I'm a foot fetishist. Does that make me a creep?
If you're looking for unique and eye-catching foot jewelry, you'll fall in love with Yoga Bling Boutique. Our unique line of toe rings and anklets are gorgeous conversation pieces that make heads turn. Visit yogablingboutique.com for exotic toe rings, anklets, and socks that caress your lovely feet like a glove. We're on Facebook as Yoga Bling Boutique FB. Also look for us on Instagram as Yoga Bling Boutique. Your feet deserve jewelry from Yoga Bling Boutique. For more information, go to yogablingboutique.com.
And we're back. And with a big thanks to our sponsor, Yoga Bling Boutique. And so let's get back to the question in hand. I'm a foot fetishist. Does that mean I'm a creep?
Well,
yes, no answer right now.
No. but you're asking, are you a creep?
Forget the foot fetish question. Is top toes a creep?
No. Yeah. I'll tell you why.
You're too sweet.
No, I have actual proof. To turn you into a creep. But you flat out refuse or fail miserably.
Yes, the one time I'm like, all right, we're somewhere where like this is totally expected, camera out, and I still can't creep shot.
Right.
And
you're with a fetishy partner at a fetishy filled and appropriate, you know, venue, and you still can't creep out for me. So
I know. And I can call you up and I can tell you the ongoing saga of accidental foot tease coworker, but you know, can I get you but one creep shot? No, I can't.
I think in this entire, you know, half a decade, you've maybe gotten me two.
Yeah, and you've mocked them because they were like so in motion. It was so blurred.
so bad. It's like, is that an actual foot? Is that a shoe? What are we looking at here? You're just a bad creep. You are not a creep. But as a foot fetishist, like if you just are generalizing somebody with a foot fetish, are you a creep? I'm going to have to say the majority of the time, the answer is yes.
Really?
Yeah.
We've spent 38 episodes trying to convince our audience that the majority of foot fetishes aren't creeps.
Well,
and now you're going to say the majority of them are?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because the majority of the ones that come out, like, fiercely and openly, are not, like, normal in the way that you and I are. Like, they don't have shame, or they're into, like we were talking about, other fetishes. So they come out as foot fetishes, but really they're into humiliation or being dominated, which is an entirely different fetish.
So now we're but separating they identify out the pure foot fetishes from the peripheral foot fetishes, the guys who are, I don't know, everything foot, is evolving.
Foot, the guys that are foot fetishes because they just want to be at the bottom of the totem pole, and the bottom, the feet are the closest to the bottom. I think, Rachel talked about it a little bit, and so did Matt, our last guest, where, you know, it's easy to identify as a foot fetishist if the place that you want to be at is at the bottom of somebody's feet. But what's the reason that you want to be at the bottom? Would you feel the same if, say, you were, not you, but, you know, if someone was dominating and, you know, the woman was at the bottom and they were, I mean, I'm having a hard time explaining this, but.
I get where you're coming from. So what you were talking about is the difference between the foot fetishist, as most people perceive, who is, I think we've used the term the foot bitch, and the DNS neutral foot fetishist.
Yes. Okay.
Especially perfect. The foot fetishist who seems to occupy the opposite side of the slash than is the commonly understood, which is the myself, your husband, a lot of our friends, but the non-submissive foot fetishist.
Right. So those guys tend to keep it to themselves, because whose fucking business is it anyway, other than a partner, right? The guys that want to be humiliated, the guys that want to be furniture, they want to be a footstool. So I think those guys are the ones that sort of give everyone else a bad name, because it's not so much about liking feet, it's about like they're wanting to be beneath the feet. Well, so
a couple weeks ago, we delved into an amazing little book called The Psychopathia Sexualis. and the foot fetish and paraphilia section is nestled in the middle of the chapter on masochism.
Well, that's not entirely... I mean, fast forward 100 years later, that's not entirely incorrect. I mean, I think these are the guys that are not, that they want to be shamed. And so this is why foot fetishists in general are perceived to be creeps.
In the very near future, we have a guest lined up who is at the ultimately submissive level, who can maybe shed better light on this side of the fetish than you and I can perceive, because we don't exist in that world specifically. We interact with it tangentially and suffer the ramifications of that's the common perception of the fetish, but it's not the way we interact with the fetish. So let's not write it off as they're the fringe, because I think it is fair to say the submissive male foot fetishist of female feet is actually the majority.
Yes, I'm going to agree with that.
It's everything we rail against, but it's not wrong. Stereotypes are often based on statistical probability.
Well, then I'm also going to say that very close to that are the people that are doing the non-consensual creeping around.
And that's interesting because the first of your internet sites, the first person you quoted, placed it in the realm of almost rape fantasy, which is very not much not the realm of the submissive person. But you're
right.
That the submissive person who gets to the creep factor of it, they're saying is almost, and you know, that's the thing. You go far enough left, you come back right again. You go so far off the submissive end that maybe you come back around into something that's feeling like or could be perceived as a dominant act.
Taking your power back. So someone else says,
from the bottom.
Someone else says, pet peeve of mine, every time a girl posts pics of herself barefoot on just a regular site, someone has to say something about her feet. I get it, but it's not necessary and causes some people to feel icky and start cropping.
Yes. I will say, as the non-creep, when a friend of mine posts a Facebook pic, the typical, hey, I'm at the beach, look at my pedicure with the water behind me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, do I click like on that or not? I'm so over-concerned that I'm self. And they probably have 42 likes on that picture from all kinds of people who aren't foot fetishists. And I sit there and question it.
Do you go and check out who liked it to see if maybe they're a foot fetishist too?
No, I've never gone that far. But I definitely questioned, should I like my friend's sexy beach toes pic? Vanilla friend's sexy beach toes pic.
And I'd like to say, well, there's nothing wrong with that, right? But also, how did I get started, right? That's exactly how I got started.
I was gonna say, your Reddit there says, you know, yeah, those dudes shouldn't be making sexy foot comments on your vanilla Facebook post. But at the same time, how many fetish Instagrams were launched because they made a vanilla Instagram or Facebook post with the pedicure, the typical, hey, look at me on the beach, basic girl post that everyone we know
has done it. Yeah. Pedicure toes, not pedicure toes, toes in the sand, on the boat.
Pedicure, I don't even have the question whether I like it or not.
But people still can be creepy about it. Like if they're public, they're not private, then people can definitely, you know, like I had those kinds of comments on photos I took a before Instagram, before my fetish Instagram. I always like to do toes, right? And so I had done sort of matching petties for me and my daughter, and she was very little at the time. We had matching petties and they had cute little pumpkin designs on them. And I had somebody make a creepy remark like that. And I was like, bitch, do you not see there are children's feet in here?
Yeah,
and
uncalled for.
Right. And so just, you know, today I had one of our previous guests for Susan, Shut Up and Smell, post, and she sent me a message and said, hey, you're following this guy who follows a ton of children's foot pages. And I was like, what? Like, I tried, because I follow all of my followers back on the podcast page, right? And so I went and I looked, and I was like, I'm usually pretty good about checking, you know? And so I went and I looked, and his page looked pretty normal, some foot stuff, some memes. And then sure enough, you go and you check on the pages that he's following, and there were several pages that were posting children's feet. And, you report and block, but that's not going to be enough. They're just going to post something else. So
yeah.
So definitely creeps.
Checking the people you follow for who they follow, that's an awful lot of vetting for what in essence is a simple social media thing. But it's right. Part of the world
can you imagine how many followers can you get in a day? You know, anywhere between 20 and 100 if you're a big page like yours. And then to have to go in there and... And that's exactly what she said. She said, I spend every morning editing, and instead of doing that, I'm looking at who this person's following, because I want to make sure that any follower that's following them gets blocked, you know? So that's how she found me, because she saw that I was following this person. And
yeah.
And I have seen, like when somebody posts comments on some of these pages that say, you know, you're posting children's feet and it's disgusting, and, you know, I've reported you. And then they actually respond and say, but it's just feet. Like, I don't like children. It's just feet. And I'm like, that's just entirely too close. Yeah, that's just too close for comfort. So
that's just pedophile justification.
Yeah, it's still behavior. Yet, it's still in that, yeah.
I'm not going to put up with anyone who justifies their pedophilia because it's a fetish, not actual sex parts. You know, it's like, no, if it's your actual sex parts, it's just not what the Western world considers actual sex parts. So if you're fetishist and the feet you're fucking gooning on are 12 years old, you're a pedophile first.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to just tell everyone out there, you know, be careful about, you know, who you follow and what you like, because you may not like children's feet, but you didn't look too closely and you hit that like or whatever. And then also try your best not to leave fetishy type messages on vanilla pages. It's creepy. I mean, forget feet aside. Let's say somebody posted, you know, themselves in on a family vacation in a bathing suit. Don't go in there and say, oh my God, I really love your tits. They're gorgeous tits. I mean, it's just rude. It's just rude.
There's a couple pages that I follow where the person kind of goes back and forth. Like, they understand they're posting content that is other people's fetish, and they go back and forth between that and their vanilla world and family vacations and whatever. And I'll throw likes at a page like that, but I will avoid throwing comments, because if that page kind of spans the gap between being fetishy and vanilla, I expect that they have their vanilla acquaintances following that page going, I wonder why she shows like her shoes of the day and nylons of the day all the time. And I recognize what their following is, and I adapt. Well, I'm not a big commenter anyway, but, you know, I think in those terms. But that's because I've been for, 45 minus puberty years, a foot fetishist, and I can think in those terms.
But also nowadays, people really shouldn't be leaving extremely sexy, fetishy comments on pages anymore. You know, it's like all the fetish pages are kind of trying to be undercover. And, you know, mine is a nail salon now.
As we all learned just today, at least our inner circle of people learned just today, most of us are actually now professional accountants.
Oh, yes!
Somehow, very recently, that became the code word for I have an OnlyFans page.
Yes!
I'm an accountant. Nobody can figure out the exact reason why, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, that's the term, but that's the new term.
But what happens to those of us that are actual accountants? I mean,
nothing at the moment, aside from the fact that, you know, people looking to have their taxes done are going to find feet. but it is brilliant, because it's one of those things that Instagram can never ban. There's no way Instagram can ban you from being an accountant.
They can't blacklist
being an accountant.
You don't think that they could ban the accountant hashtag?
No.
If everybody starts putting it on their tits and ass.
No, because you know what's attached to accountants very strongly is tax attorneys. And if the accountants are suddenly banned from Instagram as being blacklisted on their hashtag, their tax attorney friends will play the attorney card and fucking scam them. So it's goddamn brilliant. I just don't get how much. But we're telling our audience right now, you heard it here first, if you see a page you like and she mentions being a professional accountant, that means you can find her on OnlyFans. And on our podcast say Instagram and OnlyFans on the same in the same breath. We're protected.
Siri blocks us every 3 weeks,
but you know, she wins us back because she loves us after all.
So I need to go and post that I'm an accountant is what I need to do.
I'm not sure why they're not HVAC technicians, because you know that and OnlyFans makes much more sense.
HVAC technicians? Why?
HVAC is heating and heating, refrigeration, and air conditioning.
Right, but how's that? Has Only I don't fans. Get it. Oh. Oh my gosh! Oh, why didn't I get that? Oh gosh! No, no accountants because of the financial domination aspect of it.
Yeah,
probably.
Accountant doesn't necessarily mean you're a findom. Apparently, it's code for I have an OnlyFans page. Is what it is. I don't know. So. Yeah, so way earlier in this conversation. Wow, I'm doing the so like you do.
Doing what?
The so. You had you had fessed up in an earlier conversation the fact that you kind of get a little when so you get a little happy. Nervous or when you get a little hearing a lull, you'll so, and I mocked you. I said so and so. I never noticed that. And now I'm doing
it. I say so, and I say, man, I say a lot of shit.
We
I
all
laugh
do.
A lot. I say a lot of shit, but I am not ashamed at all.
It's all good. Our fans love us, at least the ones that are still listening. The ones who aren't, you know, go fuck yourself. But you're not listening, so
you know, I do feel like we have a couple of haters that listen. Like, just to keep tabs on us.
Oh, well, you know, then I'll reiterate. If you're a hater who's listening just for the sake of hating, you can go fuck yourself. We don't care.
No, because we're open like that. So, you want to fuck yourself, us, by all means.
Pardon me. The rest of you who are listening because you want to listen, or listening because you just checked us out for the first time, and you know, we love all of you. We love the rest of you.
Yeah. Sure do. Should you? all right. So, the thing that makes, let's go back to how you can't be a creep for me.
Well, that's where I wanted to go back to, because it's like the continuing saga of Top can't be a creep with the accidental foot tease girl in his own office. So, yeah, I just don't know. I was beginning to suspect that she had to be in the know.
Well, I told you that. I told you that I was like, are you sure she's got to be teasing you on purpose?
Yeah. And then, but there was a time when I kind of was coming back towards the office and she was sitting outside the office and, you know, just kind of dangling a foot and dangling a flip-flop and no audience to be seen, no way based on the direction I was coming from for her to have seen me before she was doing that. And it just, that's just in her nature. She's just one of those girls.
But I do that too, even when no one's looking. I shoot angle while I'm sitting at my dining room table. There's nobody looking. I think she's got to know. Okay, how many other times has this happened? Like, so, like, set the scene for us.
It's hard to say. I mean, it's all situational, circumstantial. Obviously, I told the audience and you about the time when she decided to randomly lament the... but I had opened the door by mentioning the fact that her Swiss dot pantyhose happened to match
her outfit,
her shirt, or, and her COVID mask, that all three kind of had the same dot pattern, to which she then like popped her shoe off and lamented the fact that she had a run in those particular pair of pantyhose, and then like basically showed me her nylon sole, But it was within the flow of a conversation.
But who does that?
I don't know. And then there have been times when I've, and maybe with a tiny bit of intention, or not really intention, but no, not intention. That's not fair, because I am not a creep. But I'm sitting down in what would be her office mate's desk when that person isn't there, just having a conversation, and she's totally willing to do the end of the day shoe swap in front of me. And now that it's summer, she definitely switches to sandals before she leaves the office. And I kind of feel like she pauses to have a office conversation with me.
Does she do that as she does the shoe swap, or just on the way out after she's done the
This is
shoe
more
swap.
Like already in the same, and on the way out, the pauses by my desk for a moment before she leaves the office.
And then as she pauses to chat with you, does she do anything with her feet?
I can't say I've noticed anything particular, but she's definitely like, if I notice her from a distance, she's just always playing with her shoes anyway. It's just the nature of who she is. She's just one of those subconscious shoe play girls, for certain. The question is, has she realized in the however many years she's been on this planet that being that kind of person attracts the attention of certain people, and does she play to it or not?
Has she noticed that you've noticed?
Well, it's hard to say because, as I said, with the whole original, you know, hey, look at the run in the sole of my shoe, it's almost rude not to look at her foot at that point. You know, it's the reverse. Where normally you wouldn't be obvious about the staring, in that context, you wouldn't be obvious about
stare,
the turning away.
You have to stare, yeah. So has she ever caught you looking?
To my knowledge, she has never specifically caught me looking.
And how hard was it for you to take those couple of pictures that one or two times that I asked you to?
I don't even think I ever did with that particular girl.
Oh, who was, well, there was somebody else in your office. Oh, no, there was a girl across the, like, the way having lunch outside or something like that, right?
Yeah.
There's somebody outside.
I mean, like, the one or two times I've tried so hard to give you a decent creep shot. No, not even this person.
Okay. See, you're just not a creep.
No. Or I'm terrible at being a creep.
So once in a grocery store or some kind of a, I don't know, somewhere where I was buying something, shopping, I remember I heard the click of the camera, or not the click, but you know,
the fake shutter noise that all
yes,
our cameras
that's exactly,
are programmed
yes.
with.
And I quickly turned around. So I was wearing a skirt and sandals, and I was playing like slapping my heel to my flip flop because I was standing in line. And I know I saw it. I saw the guy step back. And his phone was sort of going in his pocket. So I suspected that it was him taking a picture of something. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure if he was trying to get a picture under my skirt or of my feet.
Yeah.
And I should have asked, except that I was, you know, with somebody that I didn't want to have that conversation with. So, or in front of, so I didn't. but total creep. Like, and he could have been taking a picture of something else, but I heard it, and my instinct, I mean, because of what I do, I, you know.
Well, yeah. But larger offices always seem to be rife with that office rumor. Maybe true, maybe not. Maybe somebody in a different district who got fired for taking upskirt photos. I feel like that's a corporate world universal. And it might just be one of those cautionary tales that's made up to, you know. But that story is pervasive. And so, you know, you don't want to get caught pulling your camera out, taking a picture of anything of a woman, because that story, that cautionary tale, that creep is such a pervasive image in people's heads.
See, and I... there's a lot of commentary here on this thread on Reddit where people are like, don't be that creep. Don't talk to girls about their feet. It just scares them away and all this stuff. But, and I don't know if it's because it's me, but I think I would prefer if someone just said, like, I don't need to know, oh, I'm a foot fetishist. So I'm going to use this to masturbate later. Can I take a picture of your feet? I don't need that. But if someone would just approach me and say, hey, I really like the shoes. Do you mind if I take a picture? Or I really like your pedicure. Do you mind if I take a picture? That would be okay. And
I could bring myself to complimenting somebody's pedi. I don't think I could bring myself to asking a stranger or a vanilla friend acquaintance to take a picture of their feet. I think inherently the creep factor is just too high. And although you're saying you might be receptive to it, you also understand the fetish. I just cannot imagine somebody from the vanilla world being receptive to the question, no matter how politely and uncreepily it was put, can I take a picture of your feet?
So I've had someone take a picture of my hair. Like, my hair is a fetish for some people. And this person said that I have really beautiful, shiny hair, and could they take a picture of it? And I was like, sure, why not? And looking back on it, I always wonder, was he gay? And he's just, you know, or did he want to show, like, his partner, like, oh, this is what I want your hair to look like, because that's entirely possible. Or did he have a fetish and he just wanted a picture of my hair?
Yeah, I think if you're going to do that with feet and actually have the situation fall in the questionable for purpose, maybe if it was you, and I don't mean you because I know you, I mean you because I could look down and you could theoretically have a hand-painted ladybug on your toe. And I could then say, oh my God, your pedi is so cool. Do you mind if I snap a picture? Okay. Because that would be, oh, I'm taking a picture of this unique thing. Who knows? Am I going to show it to my girlfriend so that she can get a similar pedi? Am I just intrigued by it? Am I going to, you know, do I think it's artistic?
Well, so my husband told me a story. He was at the local little, I don't know what it is. It's either a Dollar General or a Family Dollar, like one of those little stores.
We have one around here that's actually both. The two companies bought each other, and it's
Dollar General.
It's a Family Dollar Tree.
Oh, okay. Well, it's one of these like sort of mini markets, right?
Yeah.
Where they have a little bit of everything. And he stopped in there for something, and he said that the guy behind him complimented a girl on her toes. And he told her that he really liked her pedicure. And then and he thought that was the end. And he was like so tempted to look back, but because he would have to do like a full, you know, just turn around to look, he thought it would be too obvious. And he's probably a little more cautious like you, because he's worried that somebody's gonna be like, ah, he's a fucking foot fetish, you creep. And then the guy didn't leave it alone. The guy went on to say, man, those are some cute feet. I like feet. Like, these are some really cute feet. Those are some really cute toes. Like, your man must be lucky, and all this stuff. And she wasn't creeped out at all. And that was one of the questions I asked him. Like, was she totally fucking weirded out? Did she, like, start, like, hiding her feet under her, you know, her other shoe or whatever? But he said that she was very receptive to it. That she was like, oh, thanks, you know, and just... And she had some type of fluorescent, you know, neon polish or something.
She's wearing the fluorescent neon polish because she's also ToeGal72 on Instagram. Or this dude who seems, your husband's perspective and probably yours, my perspective, so ungodly brazen and potentially creepy, he's playing it right and wrong.
See, I think you have to be just the right amount of confident, you know, because I don't know. I just can't, like, if you're coming at me all, like, with your shoulders hunched down and your trench coat, asking me for a picture of your feet and my feet, the answer is going to be no. But if you're just, like, this normal guy that's like, damn, you have some really cute feet, and I like feet, like, I would... I think that would be okay. I think it depends on the person. It really just depends.
This guy's approach is, damn, your man better be sucking those toes because... yeah.
But I always, I've said this a couple times on different episodes, is that, you know, my sister and her friends and several other, it's like a thing amongst my circle. Like, I knew, like, there were girls who would not date a guy who was not wearing perfectly clean shoes and perfectly clean socks. And they would say that. And I don't think they had a shoe fetish, obviously. Just they would just, they had a thing for nice, crisp, white shoes.
There is something in I hate to say certain urban cultures, but I think it's the only way to put it.
It's like the first thing they look at. Like, they say that. Like, what's the first thing you look at? White,
amazingly well-kept sneaker is a status symbol. Come out of the dirty Converse world.
No, but, you know, Chucks have to be worn. Like, brand new Chucks irritate me. I have to dirty them up.
I have my All Blacks. The black with black rubber and black eyelets and black logo. And those, like, hand-plucking dog or cat hair off of them because, yeah, they're black. Regular old Converse, no. They got to have some patina.
Yeah. I used to dirty them up on purpose. Now my Adidas with the fat laces, those had to be white.
There's the shell top Adidas. There's definitely a culture to the super white sneakers. But do I go into work to Accidental Footies Girl and say, that your petty is always on point. I hope the husband appreciates that. I don't know. I think that just comes off creepy as fuck.
In that way, it would. Yeah, I think in that way it would.
But that's almost exactly what the...
It's a little bit different because... It's different because then you're outing yourself to this person whose feet you've seen this whole time and are going to continue to see.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like, Dollar General guy.
That's a move you can play on a stranger.
I think so, yeah. That's almost like a line, like, oh, girl, you got the best smile or whatever fucking bullshit they tell you. Like, you could say that about her toes and she'd be all right with it.
Whether or not you're a creep also has a lot to do with the context in which you interact with somebody.
You know the whole line about sexual harassment, right? Like, sexual harassment isn't sexual harassment if the other person is attractive. I think maybe that's kind of like, you're not a foot creep if the girl thinks you're attractive.
I've been told I'm a reasonably attractive man, but
I think you could get away with that kind of stuff.
But you're telling me I still can't with Accidental Footies Office Girl.
Not only because you work with her. Yes. Yeah. That's because you work with her every single day of, you know. Yeah. So. Okay. But have we answered the question of, are you a creep?
And I think the answer is varied. I think the answer, you know, what you do, how you do it, what you say, how you say it, what the company and what the context. Because I think your husband's story proves that you can be fucking down and dirty right out there and say it. And not be creepy, but in certain contexts, that's still creepy as fuck.
Yeah. I think
I'm
a creep.
There's some guys who just, no matter how they put it, are creepy. And there's some guys who say it because they want to be creepy.
So I'm gonna give a quick shout out to Soul_Dynasty904. Instagram. He's a photographer in Florida, and yeah, you know who he is. I think you guys follow each other. His profile is, why should a woman go through the trouble of keeping her feet looking good with nobody to admire or appreciate it? That's his entire profile. And he's actually a photographer, and he has really good shots. He's a really good photographer. And almost all of the women that he photographs are all non-fetishy, like vanilla, that he meets on the bus, on the road, wherever. Like, he's attractive though, so he's a very handsome guy, so that could be it.
There is another guy that I've been following for years and years, New York City, and yeah, he just finds people on the streets of New York who are wearing nylons and just convinces these women to just pose for him. I don't know how the freak he does it. Maybe because New York is so enormous that you're just inherently anonymous, and it's just like the whatever factor. But I wish I could remember his name, because he's, you know, they're kind of kindred spirits on two different parts of the East Coast.
Okay, and then, so really funny though, just as I say that, I'm looking at his last post, which is like a big, giant, pretty weird sign. So I'm like, what is that, right? So I go and I look. It says, some of y'all are some creepy ass dudes. And the answer is no. She will not shoot feet with anyone else but me. Dudes been trying to play detective to find accounts so that they can backdoor you and try to shoot who you be shooting with. Stop being lazy and go recruit.
So
I
do feel like if you unwrap that statement a little bit, you can only be him if you're the first one to get to them. That move doesn't work the second time around.
Well, I think a problem that, and he and I have had this conversation, a problem that he has is that, sure, he gets these really, unique looking and gorgeous women to shoot with him. And they have beautiful feet because he has great taste in feet. He's a Souls guy. And so he shoots these just really good quality pictures, and a lot of people want to see more of them because he only posts a couple of them. Yeah. And so a lot of people want to see more, and sometimes he'll tag their vanilla accounts. They're just regular people.
Yeah.
And then these guys just go and start stalking and harassing them. Like, do you do sessions? Do you do this? Can I have a video? Can I dip at that? And this is just regular women who somebody saw something nice about them and, you know,
yeah, I will say my guy, who's the New York City counterpart, gives these girls pseudonyms and doesn't tag anything.
That's probably why, because some of these people are really creepy and get out of control. But I don't think that's a foot fetishist thing. I think that is an internet thing.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that's, you know.
And that, yeah, the internet in general.
Yes.
We've talked about it. If you give somebody the underscore, the box, the spot where they can type a thing, whatever word vomits in their head will come out. We talked about it when we posed a question. There are people who believe that something posted is an invitation to send a comment, no matter what the comment is.
Right, yes.
Yeah. And the fact is, if something is posted that does not appeal to you, there's no reason to randomly say, this does not appeal to me. And, you know, if they said it in that politer term, we'd be like, okay. But why? Why do you need to? Especially, why do you need to do it in a rude way?
Yeah.
You've somehow come across my page, their page, this comment, this post. Something put you in the wheelhouse of this post. Why do you need to make an awful or a creepy comment? Why can't you resist the temptation to click the comment or reply button if you have nothing to bring to the table?
I had a friend who started a page shortly after mine, and she's was active for a little while, and she's not. She had someone, she made the mistake of posting a picture. This is before she realized how creepy everyone could be. And so she posted a picture of her and her daughter getting pedicures on her foot page, and then started getting harassing messages about posting more of her friend. And I don't think this person was specifically looking for children's feet. I think he just thought it was a woman with small feet. And it was just, but would not lay off until finally she was like, she removed the picture and she told him, like, look, that was my 10-year-old daughter. No. Like,
yeah.
You know, and he was like, oh, I'm sorry. And he apologized, but I don't know if he apologized because she was upset or because he realized, oh, fuck, like, this is a child.
Yeah.
But either way, even if it'd been the same thing happened when I posted my mom, I posted pictures of my mom. I gave her this really great pedicure and, you know, I posted pictures of her and the same thing. They were like, can we get more pictures of her? And can we do, you know, do this? And can you suck her toes? I'm like, no, bitch. I'm going to fucking suck my mom's toes.
Like, I'm going to say to you, as the veteran that you are, veteran, do you remember I pointed out a page where they said they were X amount of year foot fetish veteran? And I said to you, yes, I remember them from the foot fetish war of 1812. But I'm going to use this term as the veteran that you are. And maybe, but I do recall so many years ago. I think anyone who's been doing this for any reasonable amount of time knows that once you post your feet next to another pair of feet that isn't like your boyfriend, you're going to at least get, oh, they should start a page.
Yeah. Yeah, and totally.
If you're clear that it's mama's, maybe they should, but
no, people don't read. My bunion lovers and my mature feet lovers, man, they were all over that lady's. But and her, she's really dark. Like,
there's nothing wrong with that unto itself, except if you said, this is my actual maternal unit, and they say, can you suck her toes? Then they're just being fucked up.
That's a whole nother fetish. I'm saying that's
well
incest.
We have known collectively a few variations on mother daughter, and even I've seen a mother and son run pair of pages.
Ooh,
a couple of mother daughter run pair of pages. It happens.
Yeah.
You know, and you're dancing the line of that taboo depending on what you're doing.
Yeah, there's just certain lines I won't cross. And personally, my preference is not to involve, you know, my family members. That's because...
You know now why you don't.
But you know what, though? That's probably because for the people that are not into feet, then it's not a big deal. That's like me holding hands with my mom and posting pictures and being like, oh, we're holding hands.
And that's fine. But because put it on the fetish page, you inherently fetishize it and you invite the creeps. And we're not all creeps.
No.
But we dance.
We understand. We understand that there can definitely be a creep factor in the foot fetish community. And there is also a creep factor in every single other fetish out there. So
there's a creep factor in humanity. I don't think there are any more creeps in the foot fetish community as there are on the planet in general. Just our creeps are a little more obvious. With that, we thank you for putting up with our insane rambling for the last hour change.
They're not putting up with it. You know they want to be here.
No, they do. And if you're a creep, keep on being a creep. Like they say, keep Portland weird. Keep on being a creep. Just don't be creepy to people.
Yes.
But we thank you as always for listening, and I don't know what else is there to say.
If you're creepily masturbating to our voices,
you're welcome.